All right. Well, let's let the Word of God speak to us this morning. This scriptures I brought you for this morning before our huggy break and praise and worship, just to get the spirit man going here. It's going really good now. But this is from the book of Colossians, and verses 3, 4, and 5. Colossians chapter 1, verses 3, 4, and 5. For those of you that brought your Bibles, and give you a second to find it. And this is important, because if I were to be from a different place, or like when I am away, which isn't very often, but when I am, these scriptures remind me so much of all of you. Because if I were asked by others, how's renewed life? What's it like there? What are the people like there? I'm always happy to tell you that there's no cliques here. I see very little bitterness and envy and jealousy and striving and strife and people that just can't seem to get along. I don't see hardly any of that. I hardly ever hear a bad report. And that's a very big thing with God. This is what I do see. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. These are things that really mark this particular fellowship. I can't answer for anywhere else, and I won't. This is here. When I think about one of the testimonies that I hear the most, is particularly from people who've been here the first time, one of the first things that people experience is your love for them. They feel welcome, they feel loved, they feel cared for, and it's important that should always be. That if today's your first day, that people are happy that you're here. People love you and care for you and desire God's best in your life. That's the reports that we hear, not, I went there and that place stunk, I ain't ever going there again. You know? I don't ever hear that about. This is what I see. This is what I hear. So this is, you know, if anybody wants to get a big head, we buy big hats and we hang them in my office. Okay, so this is a praise. Paul wrote this about the believers in the Colossian church. But I see a very similar thing here. And that's why the scripture is good. Your faith. There are people in this congregation that have mountain-moving faith. And if you need a mountain moved out of your life, this is the place to come. Because mountains get moved. People get healed. People get delivered from all kinds of things that have got a hold of their lives. Addictions, bondages of all kind. Those kind of things happen here. Because you're open and sensitive. And sometimes it seems like we might make a sudden left turn. We'll go with it, because we want to embrace not a rigid schedule, but a really awesome relationship with the Lord. And just your faith is enriched by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. You're learning to be Word people. God's Word before our words, and the power of His Word in our lives. It really changes our circumstances. But the love that you have, it doesn't matter who comes. You don't turn people away. I've never seen you stand in a doorway. Oh, you can't come in. No, this is a house of hugs. Fear, not into that. Let your requests be made known because somebody grab you at huggy break. and it's just the way it is. This is a good place. I think that we would have a kindred spirit with the Colossian believers. And Paul said, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. We're not shy about if we see somebody here that we don't know. Small congregations, that's very noticeable. But our concern is that all of you have an opportunity to hear the gospel. And it isn't just about getting saved, giving your life to Christ. It's about healing. It's about deliverance. It's about the new life that Christ has for you. And we're always making those things known to you so that you grow. Because it's my desire that all of you grow to that point where you don't need me. In the sense of, I can't make things happen for you, but I can teach you how you can let God make things happen for you. And that's the key. So this word is really true for you. And the hope which is laid up for us, we have a hope. The world has no hope. People that are not born again believers, where is their hope? They wake up every morning and say, well, I hope it gets better. We wake up every morning and say, Father, I thank you that it's going to get better because you made this day for me. And your word says that I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. See, there's nothing wrong with the day. It's a beautiful day. But it's what we do with that day. What are our attitudes about it? See, you have that hope. And that's exciting. It's sad to have no hope. But you have that hope. And it's because you believed. Barbara talked about the paths that are laid out before us. And if we choose to believe it, then we have hope. If we reject the truth, then that's not too hopeful. So you are the people that this talks about. And sometimes it's just important for you to hear that because sometimes I know I have a difficult word to bring, but I always want to bring it in a right spirit because we're beyond milk and toast and we're on to the meat of the word, because if we don't mature in our faith when hard times come, and some of us have been or already are experiencing those times, what will you have to stand on? But you have something. You have something to stand on, and you will make it, because you all pull together as a team, not fighting among yourselves. We're all moving together in our faith walk, growing every day, maturing in our faith, so that you can make it, and you will. I prophesy today that whatever difficult situation might be happening in your life, with Jesus in the boat, you're not going down. There won't be no glub glub. It'll be, praise you, Lord, we're going to make it, we're going through.
Thank you, Lord. The word is the light.
For many weeks on Sundays, we've been tackling a new language for Christians, learning how to speak words that line up with God's word. And we've covered a lot of funny examples. But we heard, when Faith and I were coming back from Maryland last Sunday, we heard one of these sayings on the radio. That just tickles me to death. And I just got thinking about that and said, that's a horrible death. That's like the mafia putting a plastic bag over your head until you can't take another breath and you suffocate and you die. And I thought, wow, why don't people just say that tickles me to life? Oh no, that tickles me to death. And have anybody ever been tickled until you couldn't catch a breath again? Would you like to die like that?
I made the point. Learning to speak words that line up with God's words. Cast your cares. That's better than saying take care. One is imposing a burden on someone by telling them to take care, where the Word of God tells us to cast our cares. So any cares that you have, when you're parting company with someone, don't say take care, say cast your cares. Because the Word of God says cast your cares upon the Lord, for He cares for you. But this week we're going to look at something else pertaining to our words, some teachings that Jesus had to say about our words, Matthew chapter 12. And this is a series of scriptures all connected. I don't like to just pick one out. I like to look at the ones before and the ones after to make sure we're getting in the right context. While you're going to Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 through 37, I remember 2 weeks back we were talking about Job's words. And out of his mouth he said, "The very thing which I feared the most has come upon me." And the caution there is not to speak words of fear, but speak words of faith. Because fear opens up the door for the enemy to start sowing things into our lives, because we're not trusting God when we're in fear. Well, this aspect today has to do with being able to tell what a person is really like by the way they speak. And this is really crucial, because the truth of the matter always comes down to what Jesus said. Verse 33, "Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by its fruit. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart, good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say unto you, little word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Now, this is quite a dissertation on the importance of words that we speak, words that we use on a regular basis. And Jesus is using a man's life as a tree that bears good fruit or does not bear good fruit. And evil in this context simply means the non-believer versus the believer. A non-believer cannot speak godly words, because if you remember before you were Christian, you really couldn't. Because most non-believers, that's why they're non-believers, they don't believe the Bible to start with. This Bible's only written for believers. So non-believers, they can only speak things that are of the natural realm. The words of fear, words of doubt, words of unbelief, words that's all that you're going to keep seeing in your life as long as you keep speaking them. And I wrote a little thing that my sister said as an example back when I went out to see her. It's probably been 2 months ago. She said, "Every year about this time, I get this particular infirmity, and I'm going to hack and gag until February." And so she's 2 months into her hacking and gagging. Because she said it, she believes it, and that's what she's going to have. Because Jesus said, "Whatsoever you speak, if you believe it and not doubt in your heart, that's what you'll have." It's flu season. I always get it. And then when you get it, you can come back and say, "See, I told you I was going to get it." My dad, when he was alive, I remember as a kid growing up, and he always had this thing about Social Security. He'd say, "I paid into that all my life. and I'll probably die before I ever collect a penny. And do you know, to his word, he died a week before he would have been eligible, when he would have turned 65 and he would have been eligible for Social Security, but he kept confessing it with his mouth that he would never live to collect a penny of it. I'm broke. I'll never get these bills paid. Well, we talked about that 2 weeks ago. But Jesus is talking about a good tree versus a bad tree. He uses trees as illustrations to illustrate the life of a person. Let's talk about the good person, the good man, the one who speaks good, truthful, scriptural words. Do you keep your promises when you speak the word to somebody? Do you keep your promises? Do you back up what you say? Are you dependable? Are you reliable? Can people count on you because you said something? Do you look at a situation and speak all of the quote unquote bad things about a situation? Or are you the person who's had some renewing of your mind take place to God's word? Or do you see hope in something? I've been getting some mail this week by email. I have a big email church too. And this person, every time I get a letter, there's this many bad things in a column about that wide and about that high. And not one good thing. It's getting worse. Well, should I stop praying? Maybe it'll get better. And no matter what you say, no matter what counsel you give to the person whose eyes are only fixed on what's bad in a bad report, that's all you give God to work with. It would be far better to say, yes, it's true, my situation's not the greatest, but I'm not without hope. I'm a born-again believer. I have the Holy Spirit living inside of me, and greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. If God be for me, who can be against me? God always causes us to triumph in Christ. He said I'm a winner. He said I'm more than a conqueror. And though there may be mountains above me and valleys below me and all kinds of chaos going on in my life, I would far better think that I would have a better chance of getting through that by speaking what God has already done for me on my behalf. And you can tell a person, you can know a person very quickly by listening to the words they speak. Not here in church, but in general life. Here, we tend to watch ourselves because we're accountable to one another. But I've been in some homes where the family dog is treated better than the wife or the husband, or the cat gets his food first. There's just... this is very serious. And we try to bring it in a right spirit to show us that the Lord is expecting us to change the way we speak so that we can be better communicators. We can be people who speak words of life rather than words of death. We can speak words of encouragement rather than words of discouragement. We can build people up instead of tearing people down. Words are really important. And we gave an example. Some of you weren't here a few weeks back, and I said how powerful words are. If somebody, you come through the front door, and I walk up to you to give you a hug or greet you, and I say, gee, you don't look too good today. Something wrong? And man, you'd run downstairs and look in that great big mirror in the bathroom downstairs and say, God, you know, he's right. I kind of don't look too good. You know, just the suggestive power of words. But what if I said, wow, you look awesome today. You're really pumped up for Jesus today. And you get all spiffed up, you know, and those words just really get to you, you know, and you get built up in your faith. And this is the good tree and the bad tree contrasted. And Jesus said, by our words, we will know one another. Why? Because words come from the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You can tell where a person's priorities are. If you hang around them long enough, you know what their priorities are. Is it the Lord or is it other things? It's unmistakable. Jesus doesn't lie. And you always know that whatever's in your heart that's most important to you, that's the first thing you do. And sometimes when we speak and we say, oh, I didn't mean to say that. Yes, we did, because it came from the heart. We just didn't run it through the head first to stop it before it came out of our mouth. See, it's about learning to develop self-control, self-accountability, responsibility in our relationships with other people. And that's one of the things about the scripture that I opened with this morning. See, I don't hear any backbiting or behind the scenes tattletaling on each other. Every once in a while I'll get a report and say, you really ought to know this, pastor, but so-and-so is doing this or so-and-so is doing that. And I say, really? Did you sleep under their bed in their house last night? I'm not believing anything second and third hand. If I don't have personal knowledge of something, you're good to go. We're not quick to spread rumors like that around here, and I'm very thankful for that, because you see, it's teachings like this that help us, where the Spirit of God wants us to be in control of the words that we speak, so that we can be a blessing to others. There isn't a lot of good news outside of Christianity these days. But like Gary said, we've already got it. We have something good down on the inside of us. We have the ability to bring hope to a person who doesn't have any. Or life is a wreck. But with your words, you can bring comfort and assurance that it's going to be okay. If God's in your boat, you're not going down. Remember, even when the water was as deep inside the boat as it was the outside, and Jesus was just laying down having a nap, and all the disciples were freaking out? I probably would be freaking out too if my boat had as much water inside of it as it did on the outside before I got saved. I actually had to get out of my sinking canoe once and swim to shore because the boat was going down in a thunderstorm, because I was too foolish not to get in before the wind turned it over. But when you have the Lord living on the inside of you, let His Spirit be the one that directs your words. Oh my, things go so much better. Learn to believe the best. Learn to speak the best. We can't deny situations and symptoms and things that are happening. Those are real. But we can do something about the outcome. And that's really important. In my letter that I got this morning before I came here, I said, you know, you have undone 3 months of prayers with this letter. Everything that we as a church have been praying for you, you just undid it with your mouth. When all of heaven was activated on your behalf, and you just get running off at the mouth, because it's going to come down to, you have to believe God for you. When we all pray for one another, you have to take a stand for you. And when you're prayed for, that's what you stand on. But words can undo all that. Because why pray if your words are going to negate everything? well, I know you prayed for me, but, well, there just went the prayer. It went about as high as your eyebrows. You see, when all of heaven is activated on your behalf, and then when you speak something contrary and negative to that, it's like, no, God, don't intervene. It's cool. I got it. No, it isn't. But you see, that's why we have to learn these truths together. And as often as I do this, as often as I read these and study these, man, I can slip in 1 second just as easy as you can. And so each time I bring this, I can read it and study this at home and bring it. But now when I'm hearing it out in the atmosphere, it's coming back to me through those speakers, and I'm hearing it like you're hearing it. That's what causes us to renew our minds. It's hearing the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. If you want your faith to be increased, if you want your faith to be more powerful, take this word in that you're hearing and go home and practice. If there's a certain phrase or a certain name you call yourself, when you get mad and you're in one of those moments where you just lose it and start speaking things. Yeah, you got them favorite names? I knew there's at least one honest person in here today. Well, I can't tell you what your experience would be like, but mine was like that once. I slipped and called myself something my dad used to call me. And I heard the word of the Spirit inside of me say, what scripture are you standing on? And you will soon find out that when you learn who you are, how God sees you, that will help to stop some bad habits or things we've always said, and they need to change. So be a good tree. Produce good fruit. Because you know, words are like seeds. They produce after their own kind. Okay? So if you sow broccoli, carrots aren't going to come up. They shouldn't. Unless the chickadees eat the seeds and intermingle them in your garden. But generally speaking, words are seeds. And if you get loose with your words and you say things that are out there, I got an example one time, is if you take your pillow filled with feathers up to a high windy mountain and you cut it open with a knife and all the feathers go flying out of your pillow, that's what words do. Many times we can never take them back once they've gone out of our mouths and the damage is done. And it's really, really hard to undo things that people speak into our lives. And that's some of the bad fruit that happens. But we want to learn to produce good fruit. So if you get upset with somebody, it's better not to say anything until you've had a chance to cool your jets a little bit and think before we speak. But I can tell you honestly, before you today, as many times as I smash my thumb with a hammer, I have not yet come to the place where I can do that and say, oh, praise the Lord. I'm not there yet.
I burnt my hand yesterday. I set my hand on the stove and, yeah.
You didn't say praise the Lord either? No. So you see how real this is? And that's what I like about when we come together. This among any place that we can come, it's about being real with each other and dealing with real life things. You know, we don't have to pretend to be somebody we're not. These things affect all of us. But it's the Lord's desire and purpose to work these things into our lives if we let Him. And using the Lord's name in vain, I don't dwell on how I feel about hearing that when I'm in a circle of non-believers, like sometimes on our bowling league, and we have a Christian team in a pretty unsaved environment. We're sowing ourselves as a seed. And you hear someone say, GD it. And two times now I've had a chance to say, God doesn't damn anyone, they damn themselves. And God doesn't take you, he receives you. It's all in turning the words around so that they become more in line with his word. He doesn't condemn us. We'll be looking at more in the weeks to come of actually what the word says about our words and how that affects our families, it affects our workplaces, it affects our fellowship, it affects our future. Did you know your whole future is in your words? Think on that. What you speak about, what you see in your life, can very much dictate where you are today compared to where you're planning on going in the future. So that's pretty heavy. I'd rather think about the hammer before we leave. But anyway, little reminders, we're trees that God would like to see producing good fruit, and watching the words that come out of our mouths, because, you know, as believers, we don't want to set a bad example out of a moment of carelessness and letting our guard down. This is just one more thing on our list. There are some things to do in Christianity, and there's a to-do list and a not-to-do list, and the not-to-do list is, as much as we can, try not to speak something that you've been saying that's only producing bad fruit. And the to-do list is, when you see how quick it is to change that, you keep that on your to-do list. If I had a good day yesterday because I changed what I was saying about a situation, today I can live in the hope that it's going to be changed, because eventually words do create and they will bring change. And when you're speaking of other people and you want to see good things begin to happen in their lives, start with you and start speaking those changes over that person's life, and then just leave it alone. And you'll see some amazing things happen by this little tiny thing, but it's a big thing. Well, I want to pray for anyone else that wants prayer. We always make time to do that. So if you have any prayer needs or things that you want us to be in agreement with, we love to pray. This is a praying body of believers, and many of you know that when you have a need, you've got a group of brothers and sisters that are going to be with you 100%.